My name is Quinn. I want to thank Pastor Tim for inviting me to speak to you today. You know, it has been 20 years since I last spoke to this congregation at the old church. And since then, I went on to completing seminary studies and also serving as an English ministry pastor at a Vietnamese church. And as you can see, I acquired a very fashionable accessory here. I actually fell off my e-bike and fractured my shoulder. But praise God, I am here, and so are you. So today, I want to speak to you about flourishing abundantly. So what is human flourishing? What is it that makes you flourish? Now, when we hear the word flourishing, especially in a congregation like this, highly educated, many of you very successful at your careers and your vocations, we might instinctively think of flourishing as having financial security or even career success. But is flourishing about money or education, personal health, happiness, or is it something deeper? What does it mean to flourish abundantly? Sorry, my bad. Turn it on. Okay, so Psalm 92, verses 12 to 14, tells us what it is to flourish in God's eyes. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. Notice that God doesn't say the righteous flourish because they have the best resumes. He doesn't say the righteous flourish because their investment portfolio are performing well. He says they are planted. In other words, they are rooted. They are connected to God. And Jesus echoes this in John 10:10, saying, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So this is what I want us to think about today. What does it mean to flourish abundantly God's way? An article in Christianity Today asked this bold question: is the world flourishing? It referred to the Global Flourishing Study. Take a look at this video.
We humans have been very busy mapping the expanse of the world, from mountaintops to ocean depths, and every creature, plant, and element along the way. We've mapped the planets and the stars, even the code to human life. We are a curious bunch, which brings us to that one rare thing that remains surprisingly unmapped. The question: what causes human flourishing? What exactly is it that moves human beings to contentedness, vitality, hope, good character, mental health, and fruitful relationships? Is there a set of researchable, repeatable waypoints that chart humanity's course to our very best selves? The Global Flourishing Study is a research initiative whose ultimate goal is to map that very mystery, to find pathways to the causes of flourishing, as well as obstacles that keep us from flourishing. Across diverse countries, cultures, beliefs, income levels, and vocations. The Global Flourishing Study is a 5-year longitudinal study of over 200,000 participants in 22 countries. It's engaging dozens of leading sociologists, philosophers, theologians, psychologists, epidemiologists, historians, and economists. By putting deep empirical data behind questions we all care about, the Global Flourishing Study is not just charting the hows and whys of human flourishing, it's mapping the very mystery of humanity. Follow the research at globalflourishingstudy.com.
The results of this study were so significant that they were published in Nature. This is one of the world's top scientific journals. Now, this is not a niche Christian poll. It is not an it is an open access, globally recognized longitudinal study backed by Harvard and Baylor, involving over 200,000 adults in 22 countries and one territory, namely Hong Kong. Researchers found that flourishing isn't about money. They identified 6 core aspects of life. Which include happiness and life satisfaction, mental and physical health, meaning and purpose, character and virtue, close social relationships, financial and material stability. Spiritual well-being is not a separate aspect because it is closely woven into each of these 6 aspects. True human flourishing is defined as living in a state in which all 6 aspects of a person's life are going well within their specific context. Money is only one part of flourishing. You can be financially successful and still not flourish. You can be professionally successful and still not flourish. You can be physically healthy and still not flourish. Why? Because human beings were made for something bigger. We were made for God. The secular scientific data collected from this study mirrors biblical design. And therefore, let us explore 3 biblical pathways to flourishing abundantly. And in the process, I will highlight a few relevant results from the Global Flourishing Study. The question we want to address is, what makes you flourish? A key biblical pathway to flourishing is being rooted in Christ, finding true meaning in Christ. Now, trees flourish because they are deeply rooted down into the soil. And the deeper the roots, the more the stability the tree has. In comparison, Psalm 92 says that the righteous flourish because they are planted in the house of the Lord. And therefore, to flourish, we must be rooted in God's presence, where we worship Him, hear His word, and grow in our relationship with Him. Palm trees and cedars mentioned in Psalm 92, grow slowly, but they live long, and they remain fruitful even into their old age. In fact, the cedars of Lebanon can live for thousands of years and still produce seed-bearing cone. And so likewise, we thrive when we are deeply rooted into a relationship with God through Christ. Psalm 100, verse 4. Sorry, I can't see where I am because it's not in the back. So if I'm at the wrong slide, just please put me to the correct slide. Psalm 100, verse 4 invites us, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. When we worship, our souls are nourished. We don't just visit God's house. We become planted in God's presence. So worship is not optional. It is essential to flourishing. The Global Flourishing Study found that people who regularly attend a religious service of worship, especially in person, report higher levels of satisfaction, meaning, joy, and emotional well-being. The results show that more attendance equals higher flourishing. But let's be honest. Getting out to church can be hard. Prioritizing attending church over career or academic pursuits can be a struggle. Parents with young children know that it is difficult and a challenge to come to church on Sundays. And as we grow old, it becomes harder and harder to get out to church, especially in the winter. Emotional fatigue or past hurts from church experiences can also get in the way. Yet Hebrews 10:25 reminds us, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So coming to church is essential to flourishing. The goal of coming to worship is this, according to 1 Corinthians 14:26. When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. As we come together to worship, we share hymns or spiritual songs. And so thank you to Ernest and your worship team for your awesome songs this morning. As we come together, we receive a word of revelation from the word of the Lord. We encourage one another, and in this way, we root ourselves in Christ and find meaning in him. Neglecting communal worship is not just a missed Sunday, but it can impact your spiritual health in a negative way over time. The Global Flourishing Study found that young adults are not doing as well as their former cohorts. Actual depression and anxiety are uniquely concentrated in the youngest cohorts and decrease significantly as adults grow older. And therefore, we must help our young adults to find their meaning in Christ, to be rooted in his presence and in his word. You know, shortly after my husband became a pastor, I received an urgent phone call as I was cooking supper. A tearful, frantic mom begged me to go speak to her daughter, whom she said was going to commit suicide. And so I dropped everything I was doing, told my four children to finish cooking, eat without me, and I went out alone to meet with them. You know, incidentally, moms can sometimes over-exaggerate situations. This daughter was not suicidal, but indeed was anxious, lonely, and just feeling sad about her life circumstances. By the end of that night, she received Jesus as her personal Lord and Savior. But that was only the beginning. In the years to follow, she learned to anchor her identity in God and in what God says about her rather than in her circumstances. Her meaning became rooted in Christ. And just to clarify, if someone is truly suicidal or depressed, clinically depressed, you need to get them professional help. This story shows how that scripture can help you to become rooted in Christ. Scripture, along with worshiping God, shape our identity and our foundation by giving us a clear sense of purpose, deep inner peace, and stable moral values. Scripture, along with worshiping God, move our focus away from our worries and rebuilds us on a foundation that cannot be shaken. Because if your identity is rooted in achievement, what happens when you fail? What happens when you don't get into the program? When you don't get the promotion? When your business struggles? When your health changes? When your children don't follow the Lord? When retirement comes? If your identity is rooted in your achievements, your identity becomes unstable. But if your identity is rooted in Christ, your foundation does not change. You are still God's child. You are still loved. You are still forgiven. You still have purpose. You still belong. So let God's word tell you who you are in Christ. Not your career, not your degree, not your salary, not your achievements. They are not a measure of your value. Your deepest value and identity is found in Christ. Our worth must be deeply rooted in Christ. So make it a priority to come in person to worship the Lord every Sunday, in as much as it is possible for you. Encourage your children, your loved ones, your friends, to attend church. And while you are here, try to give a word of encouragement, a compliment, or a word of recognition to one person. Don't just go to an online service unless you are sick or unable to come in person. Another biblical pathway to flourishing is growing in community, building loving relationships. God never intended for us to live alone. Genesis 2:18, God says, "It is not good for man that man should be alone." And in Ecclesiastes 4:9-10, we read, "Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble." The Global Flourishing Study found that poor countries like Indonesia, with strong family, friendships, and religious ties, reported higher well-being than wealthier nations like Japan or the U.S. Now, we live in a wealthier nation, but we are facing the breakdown of our social structures, our clubs, and our religious organizations. This erodes human flourishing as fewer people gather together beyond work and home. Loneliness increases, and finding purpose becomes a challenge. We live in a digital age where we're more connected than ever before, but also more isolated. We have smartphones, smart TVs, smart watches, smart homes. Everything is smart, except sometimes our relationships are not so smart. We can send a message to someone on the other side of the world in 2 seconds. But we can sit across the dinner table from someone we love and both are looking at their phones. Screens are replacing conversations. Social media is replacing real friendships. But flourishing does not happen online. It happens through shared life. Biblical community is people doing life together. Acts 2:42 describes the early church in this way. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. They flourished in community, learning together, sharing meals, praying together, fellowshipping, and supporting one another. We need to think of church not only as an organization, but it is ultimately family. Families stick together. They help each other. They support each other through thick and thin. You can always rely on them. They have your back. There's a recent story publicly shared online back in December by a brother in Faith Community Church. His 41-year-old wife came down with terminal cancer. They have one son. Their small group and community came together to provide the much-needed support, the meals, the groceries, the school runs, and prayer. Their church community took on everything right up to the funeral. That is biblical community. Recently, many of us have been encouraged to see the power of our community coming together to support our Cambodia short-term mission by raising close to $9,000 for them from 2 bacon craft sales alone. So we're saying, I care. I will pray for you. You need not walk alone. I will rejoice when you succeed. That is biblical community. And therefore, I encourage you, don't walk alone. Join a small group or even start one. There is also Bible study fellowship, which offers many small group discussions, discussion groups, which is also a way of entering biblical community. Invite people into your community. Whether that be into your small group, into your Bible study group, or even just to attend church with you. Aim for deeper, more genuine, and spiritual sharing. Show that you genuinely care whenever you come together. Pray for and support each other. That is biblical community. You know, psychologists talk about the 4 B's of faith: belonging, finding social connections with people, bonding, finding spiritual connections with God and believers, behaving, developing shared values, Christian morals and convictions, and believing, having shared faith and purpose with believers. Church and small group or church community involvement fulfill all 4 B's. And as you fulfill these around God's word and prayer, you will flourish and you will help others to flourish. One more biblical pathway to flourishing is being directed by calling, following a God-given purpose, doing the good works that God has prepared for you to do. Ephesians 2:10 reminds us, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, we weren't saved to sit in pews. We were saved to serve. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Galatians 6:10 echoes this. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Flourishing includes doing good and serving others. In the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C., there is an inspiring display of Jerry Cobb. Now, Jerry was born to fly, literally. Her father was a military pilot and taught her to fly his airplane. And so by age 19, she was teaching people to fly. She trained as an astronaut and outperformed most of the men in 1960. However, NASA rejected her because she was a woman. NASA defended their men-only policy in spite of all her appeals. So heartbroken, Jerry gave up her dream of becoming an astronaut, and she became a missionary pilot, flying her own airplane into the Amazon jungle. She drew her own maps, where maps did not exist at that time. She delivered food and medicine to remote villages. She was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize in 1981. You know, you might never fly an airplane into the Amazon jungle, but your calling still matters. Whether you serve by teaching, leading Bible studies, or fellowship events, cooking, serving coffee, Hong Kong milk tea, praying, listening, welcoming people, encouraging, you flourish when you do the good works that God has prepared for you to do. You don't need a microphone to have a ministry. You don't need a title to have a calling. You just need to be available to God. The Global Flourishing Study showed that regular churchgoers are more likely to volunteer, to care for others, to report a strong sense of purpose in life. Older adults report a higher level of flourishing, perhaps because their sense of purpose has deepened over time. And therefore, if you are an older person, mentor someone. My husband and I trained to become family life marriage mentors. Consider being involved as a marriage mentor or a marriage mentee. If you are younger, ask God what he is calling you to do with the skills, gifts, and talents and the financial resources that he has blessed you with. This year, our church, as you know, has sent a missions team to Cambodia again. The missions team that went in 2024 shared that they were amazed at what they observed. Despite living in poverty, the Cambodians were joyful, generous, and full of life. Their church had no luxuries, but their sense of community and purpose was extraordinary. They didn't have much, but they were, in fact, flourishing. Flourishing doesn't come from wealth, success, or comfort. It comes from being rooted in Christ, growing in community, and being directed by your calling. I want to leave you with some reflection questions. What am I building my life on? is it really Christ? Who am I doing life with? Who is God asking me to walk alongside? What am I doing with what God has given me? How should I bless others with my gifts, passions, and resources? Jesus said in John 10:10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That is a life in which we flourish abundantly. It is not simply having more, but having meaning. Not simply being successful, but being fruitful. Not simply having connections, but having community. Not simply having a career, but having a calling. And so if you have never opened your heart to Jesus, do that today. True flourishing begins with Christ. And for those of us who already know him, perhaps today is a day to put down deeper roots. Perhaps today is the day to reconnect with Christian community. Perhaps today is a day you say, yes, Lord, I am available to follow your calling. Not just for my success, but for your glory. Not just to make my life comfortable, but to make my life count. Let us be rooted, be connected, be called. Flourish abundantly. Please stand as I pray.